first blush, this movie seems like it's your typical fish out of water story with a Palestinian Christian divorcee coming to the United States, kind of almost as a matter of happenstance, winning a green card lottery. Her son convinces her to come, and then she notices that, in researching this, I've noticed that nothing in this film is really what it appears to be. In a strange way, it's kind of reminiscent of, it's almost Shakespearean in that regard, that everybody's kind of something else, you just don't know what it is yet. I wonder if you could speak to the themes of the film. Dr. St. Paul?
I think the theme here is really one of American reality. It seems like in America, most people are from somewhere else originally, even if it's a few generations back. And so everybody should really, in many ways, empathize with the situation that this lady and her son experience as they come to America. She is a degreed accountant.
Mm-hmm.
She works in a bank back in Palestine. And as you said, wins the lottery. She's divorced, and she takes her son, who in Palestine goes to a private school. So we're dealing with a middle class setup, or she has some savings. But when she comes, she encounters all sorts of trials and tribulations, even starting at the immigration, checkpoint that is in America.
Hmm.
And she's used to checkpoints.
Right.
Because to go to work every day back in Palestine, when she lives in Bethlehem,
mm-hmm.
she has to go through checkpoints to go to work. And it takes a lot of time and a nuisance. So I think it's really interesting to get into the skin of someone who, comes to another country. And I think that is the theme.
And she is coming from what, to put it mildly, is a very complicated situation in the in that region. I wonder if you could speak a little bit to where she's coming from.
Sure. This is Christine Lindner from the History Department. I'm also the coordinator of the Religious Studies program here at Murray State University. As a Palestinian Christian, there's a long tradition, particularly of Palestinian Christians investing in education and being part of the middle class in the region, migrating within the region in particular. And so when a lot of the nation states developed, whether it was Lebanon and Syria, early on in the mandate, and then later on with Israel being developed under the British mandate, and then later on with the State of Israel developing, a lot of these flexible identities got kind of stuck. And so the migration where you might have to, say, attend a school up in Lebanon and return back, people got stuck. And as particularly different wars happened and the boundaries expanded, particularly for the State of Israel and minimizing the Palestinian areas, people had to find ways to continue their identity, a middle class identity or what have you, within the confines that they have. And so you see this woman having to cross checkpoints in order to do their job. So right now, the numbers are about a quarter of Palestinian Christians are in the occupied territories, and about three-fourths are Israeli citizens living in what is the State of Israel.
Hmm.
So you see within a community, it's quite a large, diverse Christian community with lots of different people groups and religious affiliations, whether they're Orthodox or Protestant, we see themselves also being geographically divided.
Hmm. It does seem as though the idea of a national identity is fairly new to the region. I mean, it's gone through wave after wave of conquerors and invasions with the Muslims and later on with the Crusades, and then you have the rise of the Ottoman Empire, then you have the French and the British coming in after World War I, and the Balfour Agreement, these kind of almost arbitrary lines on the map, and it seems to have divided people, whereas they may have been members of the same tribe before. Now one is Jordanian, but the other is Iraqi. Are these things that have kind of only recently become part of their zeitgeist in the Middle East?
This is Christine Lenner again. That's a great question, and I encourage all of the students at Murray State University, if they want to explore this more, I am offering Modern Middle East course next term, so we have a whole course to talk about this. But yes and no, and I think it really depends on people's personal perspectives, and so I don't want to get into that right now.
Right.
But I think one thing that's really important to add is, particularly for Palestinian Christians and Arab Christians in general, migration is also another factor in this. Mm. And so this woman moving to the U.S. is really of no surprise if you're looking at Christians in the Middle East.
Right.
Many people, even some of the own patriarchs, are located in the United States. And so that both adds to the desire to have a national homeland identity,
right,
and as a distinction, but also the problem of a lot of the nationalism actually erodes what we call in the Magyar in the diaspora.
Hmm.
So it's quite a complicated issue. Yeah.
It seems like it's of a piece with the film itself, which is also very complicated, a lot of moving parts. And as I said earlier, there's it just always happens that you think you know someone and then you find out something else. It kind of broadens your awareness of the situation and the person.
Yes, this is Tahar Sampar again. I would like to add to the fact that the movie seemed to be set at the start of the Iraqi war.
Right.
And so this woman is now falling in the hands of, you know, the Homeland Security being heightened, anti-Arab sentiment heightened. And so it's unfortunate because the people she goes to stay with are also middle class, like Christine mentioned. They are settled, and the man is a doctor, and they are suffering. They're seeing the clients are dropping. The doctor is being discriminated upon, and that is thrown in there, but it creates the atmosphere in the background. And one point I'd like to mention is that religion is never mentioned. There is no sense of whether the person is Christian or Muslim because it's not mentioned. And they sound, to me, irreligious. And it's quite common that there are many assumptions that because people speak Arabic, they are all glommed into one, you know, kind of category, typically Muslim.
Right.
That is not the case necessarily. So,
well, even Muslims
they're not
monolithic.
Yes, and they also make a point of saying that, you know, why are people looking upon us like they call us by all names? Because we have nothing to do. We're not Iraqi. We are Palestinian. Our situation is not the same, and they are surprised at that xenophobia that they're encountering.
When the conversation happens after this film, what do you kind of think it's going to be about? There seems to be a lot of things going on in the film, and any one of them could be kind of extracted and make for a good, sustained conversation about very important things. But where do you think people's heads are going to be at, particularly how the events of the past year?
There are definitely some sentiments that will be brought up, such as the feeling of being an immigrant. I think many people probably will remember that maybe if they're from an Irish American community or Japanese American community, German, or even that in the past, their ancestors might have encountered similar situations of, you know, certain discrimination, and that should not be forgotten. Also, I think there's humor in this movie. And so it's not all black and white.
Right.
There are some good people who are empathetic, like the Jewish schoolmaster, who is very sensitive to her plight, or the mother's plight when her son is bullied. There is humor, there is a lot of humanity. And an example of the humor would be when she arrives at the immigration office, they ask her occupation, and she understands. She says, yes, we've occupied. We've been occupied for 40 years, you know? And that is the subtlety of this movie.
Is there anything that you would like to come out of the discussion?
One of the things that I read about the director, her approach to this film was that she could have gone any way with discussing these issues, but she said that she really wanted a film that could encompass, almost on a softer way, to have a conversation. And I feel like that's something that's really important, particularly now that people don't, I feel like people are not encouraged to have conversations, these difficult conversations, in a discourse that's civil and respectful. Mm. And so I feel like watching this movie and then having these discussions, and even just the Cinema International in general, and WKMS and a lot of the great work that you guys do here, helping people to have difficult conversations in a way that is hard, but
it's civil,
yeah, and it allows people to meet people where they at and see other people and empathize.
Hmm. Do you think that curiosity is going to play a role in that? Because, I mean, usually if someone's curious about it, they are soliciting that information, and so there's going to be a certain level of civility there. And I'm wondering if you think that this is going to be something that's going to really pull out that curiosity out of a lot of people.
I suppose so, because when you ask a student, where is the West Bank? Mm-hmm. Why does she have to cross, you know, checkpoints like that?
Right.
Then these questions will have to be answered. It's because there are prisoners in their own country. Mm-hmm. There are basically enclaves where, you know, surrounded by Israelis. And it's hard to live in situations like that. And so unless you understand, you cannot appreciate the difficulty. And so I hope that this movie will help people get rid of some prejudice or cliche ideas and do a little more critical thinking.
Hmm. Well, one can hope so. Certainly can hope so. Well, certainly thank you both for coming up and looking forward to the conversation that comes up after Amrika.
Thanks for having us.